You're listening to Small and Mighty Conversations, a podcast celebrating and supporting the small business owner and creative entrepreneur. With your host, me, Sam Burgess. You're listening to Season 5, Episode 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new season of Small and Mighty Conversations. Season 5. That means there's been, by the end of this, there'll have been more than 50 episodes of the show, which is awesome. And we passed, just at the end of Season 4, over 500,000 downloads, which is just incredible. And I just love the fact that people all around the world listen to the show. Listen to my little show. This season, I have some awesome guests for you. Don't I always? I mean, I say that every season, but this season I've got some really awesome guests for you. And kicking off Season 5 is the fabulous Leona Thriftola from Indie Roller. Now, she is the most requested guest I have ever had on Small and Mighty Conversations. She's come up numerous times, and lots of people who have bumped into me, who tell me how much they love the show, are always like, please get Leona on, please get Leona on. So Leona is on the show with me today, and she is just so lovely to chat with. I absolutely adore Leona. I've done a few guest lives with her in her Facebook groups, sharing like my Instagram marketing knowledge, and I just think she's awesome, and she's got such an amazing business story, an amazing business ethos, and she's got some really exciting things up her sleeve, which she is going to talk about in today's episode. Without further ado, we will crack on with the show. But as always, I thank every single one of you for listening. If you're listening on iTunes, please do rate and review. It means so much to me, and it really, really helps spread the word about the show. And of course, if you are listening, then, you know, take a screenshot or take a photo of where you are, where you listen to your podcast. Maybe you're making, creating, maybe you're on holiday, and share on Instagram, on stories, or on your feed, and tag myself at Sam Burgess UK, and tag the guest as well. Guests love to see that other people are listening to the episode, and you can always get hold of their contact information in the show notes. And the same goes for this episode, or links will be in the show notes. So enjoy today's show, and I will catch up with you again soon. Hi, Leona. Welcome to Small and Mighty Conversations.
Hey, Sam. Thank you for having me.
I am really excited to have you because I think you are the most requested guest for the show. When I ask people whose story they want to hear, your name has come up multiple times. I think in the last season alone, 3 people wanted to hear your story. So I'm giving the people what they want.
Amazing. Wow.
So obviously, I'm going to guess that a lot of the listeners are familiar with who you are. But for those who don't, because we get listeners from all over the world, it would be really lovely for you to just introduce yourself to the listeners of Small and Mighty Conversations. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, great. So my name's Leona, and I run Indie Roller, which is a truth-telling, secret-sharing, myth-busting community that exists for creative, independent business owners. And it really is a place where we can feel our feelings, which is something that, as a business owner over the past 2 decades, I haven't always felt that I can feel my feelings within a business environment. Mm-hmm. So that Indie Roller, I guess, is very much a part of my journey that I've been on as someone who first started selling jewelry at Portobello Market in 2002. Mm-hmm. I went online, started selling in an e-commerce store in 2003, and very much as all of the social media platforms started, I was there at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so that has been an incredible journey of ups and downs, very much a roller coaster ride.
Hence the Indie Roller.
Yes. So here I am all these years later, still as passionate about independent business since day one. I remember setting up my stall at Portobello Market with a collection of jewelry that I had made. I printed out my own business cards. I'd made some badges to give away, and that nervous kind of energy of excitement and sheer terror.
I think everyone pretty much who listens to the show is a business owner, and we can all kind of empathize with what that feeling is like when you start your own business. And I think we all get a little bit of the imposter syndrome as well, the bit of the panic setting in of, I'm not really a businesswoman. What am I doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, back then we didn't really have terminology for all of this stuff. Like, self-care didn't exist.
No.
So this is something that has really come to play a big part of my work now, which I didn't see coming, I have to admit.
So with Indie Roller, you kind of ran that alongside another business for a while, didn't you, before you kind of closed one business and went into just doing Indie Roller?
I did. So I was running a subscription box, mm-hmm. Lucky Dip Club, which I launched at the end of 2013. Mm-hmm. And so when I had the idea, which, like, I don't know, many creative ideas feel a little bit crazy at first. Who is going to pay me every month to send them a mixture of surprise products in the post? I asked myself. Turns out quite a lot of people were into the idea. So I actually, the first thing I did was start the Instagram account.
Yeah.
And register the business name, the URL, all of that stuff. And I simply started talking about what I wanted to do online. And the first boxes didn't go out until the May of 2014. Mm-hmm. So by that point, people were really ready to get hold of these boxes, which mm-hmm. was really exciting. And it was a great business. But during that time, I became a mum.
Okay.
And I thought I could continue running my business exactly the same as I had before. And it turns out that I couldn't quite pull that off.
What was it that was meaning that you couldn't?
Oh, so I worked 7 days a week, mm-hmm. Long hours. I had thought if I came and worked from home, my baby might sit in the corner whilst I worked away. Maybe I might just need to rock it a few times with my foot. Turns out that's not the case. It was a huge learning curve for me, motherhood. I think it is for many of us. Mm-hmm. And the changes that I needed to make for my business, I made a few changes. I changed the business model. We changed the products that went inside the box. So instead of 5 completely different items every month, mm-hmm. I changed it to a sock and enamel pin box. So we knew what the products were going to be. We basically simplified the manufacturing and production process.
Okay.
So this did change what the business looked like, but it still provided a good business for myself and my family. Mm-hmm. But along the way, I kind of fell out of love with it a little bit.
And it really happens, and it's an awful thing when that happens and you realize you've just your heart's just not in it anymore.
I was feeling a lot of feelings and I didn't know where to put them, and I felt very isolated working from home, looking after my baby and running a business and not really talking to people about how I felt. So I felt I was failing at my business and I was failing at being a new mum. And over, you know, the course of a year, it got to the point where it was just make or break. It was an Instagram post. I can remember it like yesterday. Again, sat on my bed, breastfeeding pillow wrapped around me, Lola on one side, laptop on the other, phone in hand. And I posted the most vulnerable Instagram post that I'd ever kind of said before. And it was simply, I don't think I can do this anymore. I've got this wrong and I feel like I'm failing.
That's a very brave thing to put out both publicly and to really allow yourself to feel that you feel that you're failing. And I'm sure you weren't failing, but something had to change. I think failure is a word that we use a lot, and it's a very heavy word to fail. And you didn't, I don't think anyone really truly fails. We just have to sometimes admit that it's not right now, and we need to change. And you didn't fail at business. You had a very successful business and you had another one alongside as well. And I'm sure you're a fabulous mum. So tell us a little bit about what happened after you kind of admitted that it was time to make some serious changes.
I held an event, mm-hmm. called The Rollercoaster of Running an Independent Business. So this was somewhere you know, for me to put my feelings mm-hmm. and to see if anyone else wanted to have that conversation,
yep.
that kind of behind the scenes business conversation that I felt perhaps at the time wasn't being catered for. Mm-hmm. I was in lots of mum Facebook groups and I was in lots of business Facebook groups. And it wasn't really about being a mum. It was about having those feelings that don't run alongside the kind of hashtag hustle, girl slaying it. And at that time in 2016, the internet was awash with hashtag hustle.
I have so much hatred for those terms, along yes. with mumpreneur. They're the two things I really don't like, girl boss or mumpreneur. Why can't we just be bosses and entrepreneurs? Why do we have to put gender and our parenting into it?
I absolutely agree with you.
There's no dadpreneurs or boy bosses.
No. Absolutely. And, you know, I felt like there just wasn't anywhere I could go. So I was like, right, let's do a really simple event. 15 of us sat in a room. My friend who has a crafting space in Covent Garden lent it to me for free for the afternoon. We sat in that circle and there were tears.
Aww.
And we all just felt this was a space where we could have some real talk about mm-hmm. what was going on behind the scenes. From that, one of the attendees asked me if I could set up a Facebook group so they could continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. I was just like, great idea. So I set up the Facebook group and that's how it all started.
And this was 2016?
So this was, by this point, the event was in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I found like over that year, I was running Lucky Dip Club, mm-hmm. but I was really connecting with the time I was spending in Indie Roller.
Yeah.
And so I did feel very divided. Here I have another very financially successful business.
Mm-hmm.
Who on earth would close this down?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense. This pays my mortgage. You know, I've built up a fantastic audience, the customers love being subscribers, but I couldn't ignore that whisper,
mm-hmm.
that whisper that was drawing me towards Indie Roller. What I felt, could this be my future that is meaningful to me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a practical person. I can't just close down a business. I had to monetize Indie Roller in some way for it to be a financially viable business. So I started a membership group
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know what that looked like at the time. I've never been in anyone else's membership group.
Nope.
But there was a lot of good stuff going on in the Facebook group. So I was like, okay, can we create a basic framework where I can continue doing my Facebook lives?
Mm-hmm.
I can create some downloadables. If I'm honest with you, Sam, I didn't really think of it that much through.
The honesty. This is what this show is all about. It's just being honest. And the thing is, we all do it. And it's the best thing ever when you hear that other people are just literally winging it. And you're just like, oh, yay, it's not just me.
Yeah, it was the seed of an idea. And I felt, I want to go for this. This is my intuition telling me. This is my gut feeling. It doesn't make sense. My partner thought I was bananas for even considering closing down Lucky Dip Club.
Had you pitched the fact that you were planning to monetize the Indie Roller Group and make that into a financial business rather than, I'm just going to close my business and I'm just going to run this Facebook group for free?
Yes, absolutely. So I told him all about the plan. In fact, the membership group has started and I limited it to 100 members because
yep.
I just thought, you know, let's get this going.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what we can do here. And I found my feet with it quite quickly. Loads of learning on the job and being really honest about it. So I wasn't saying to any of my members, I have this all figured out. I was like, let's go on this journey together. This is about learning about ourselves and our businesses and seeing how we can all benefit from this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that initial 100 people that came on board were very much people that I'd known for a long time people on Instagram, people who'd subscribed to Lucky Dip Club, but also they were a small business owner. So there was a lot of crossover in that I hadn't quite realized. You know, I'd been an unofficial business mentor for about a decade.
Yeah.
I did my first talk at the Fashion and Textile Museum in 2005 called How to Sell Your Goodies Online. So I'd been sharing my business journey, the small business element of how you strategize, you know, because I love all of that. I love all of that. You know, we make this stuff, right? How can we sell it? Who's our customer? That part of it has always made me feel really excited. So there was a lot going on. But it was a monetized business before I closed down Lucky Dip Club for about 7 months. But still, pressing that button, cancelling nearly 2,000 subscriptions.
Did you ever think about selling your business?
So the thing about selling it, there are a number of assets in the business that I wanted to keep hold of.
Okay.
Including the mailing list. GDPR hadn't happened then, yeah. I hasten to add. The mailing list, the Instagram following. We actually kept the same framework of the website and we reskinned it for Indiegogo. So no, I didn't consider selling it. The businesses that I've run have always been very personal to me as well. So it made sense at that point not to sell it.
I think also the business, it's you. Like my dad has said to me before, because he's an investor in my business, you know, would you ever consider selling Small and Mighty Co? And I was like, yeah, no, because I don't think it would work without me being in it. It's all good and well. I am the biggest asset. So if I sold it, I would still have to be part of the business, but I'd now be working for someone else.
Yes. And I've seen this happen with product-based businesses that have been sold, but the founder stays on
and
as a kind of...
they bloody hate it.
as a face of the business. And I, you know, yes, absolutely. I think it can be problematic.
Yeah, hugely. And I said the same to my dad because he ran and sold an airline and they asked for him to stay on. He said, hell no.
I'm out the door, buddy.
Yeah, they were like, we'll pay you handsomely. You only have to work like one day a month. And he was like, yeah, no, I'm not answering to someone else. No. So I was like, when he said that to me, I was like, you know what the score is. And every single business you hear that sells and the founders stay on, they can't wait to get out.
Yeah. Absolutely. So no, selling it wasn't an option. I've always been very front-facing in my businesses. I remember an early conversation I had with a business advisor in the early noughties. He advised me to set up lots of different email accounts, PR at, wholesale at, so the business looked bigger than it actually was.
Yeah.
And when I went home and thought about that, I actually decided to blog instead so people could get to know me, the person behind the business, rather than me pretending it was something that it wasn't. So that was kind of me staying in my integrity as the business owner. And it felt like I felt excited by the idea of blogging and getting to know people rather than all of that baloney.
And that is the most powerful way to build the fundamental know, like, trust, is being a founder-led business and being the face of your own business. It is that unless you want to build your business and you've got lots of investors and your intention is to build your business and to exit, you need to be the face of your business.
Yes, and I feel that even more so going into 2020, it, you know, authenticity and really just getting to know our customers on social media. It's like, I feel like it's still, you know, really easy for us to do that. It wasn't that easy in the early noughties. You know, you had to write a press release, send it to a magazine. There were gatekeepers at work here that, you know, you had to kind of convince to show your work to the world. We now have all these ways where we, the business owner, can just, you know, I always say hop onto stories. It's not quite the case. It's, oh, you know, just hop on. But we can talk to camera on stories and share what we've made that day. It can be that simple. And I feel that that's really exciting as someone who sits in their spare room and makes stuff for a living.
Absolutely. That,
instantness.
It's so true, and things have changed so dramatically, and you've obviously been on the journey from pre-social media all the way through to the power that is social media, and you've mentioned Instagram a few times. So talk us through a little bit about what part Instagram has played in, I guess, both the success of the Lucky Dip Club and also with the Indie Roller Group.
Yeah, so it's funny because Instagram has been a real roller coaster for me. Mm-hmm. And I think when we did our first video together, yeah. I was going through a real rough patch with it. So I'm out of that rough patch now, and I feel like I've taken back control of what is a really powerful communication tool that you can also use to connect with your customer. Mm-hmm. And I feel that in the kind of, around 2016, 2017, I felt that Instagram was a highlights reel, and it kind of started to get really glossy. Mm-hmm. And I started to disconnect from it, mm-hmm. because I'm very much all about truth and real talk. Mm-hmm. So I found like I was creating content that I thought people wanted to see rather than being myself.
Yeah.
So I think with Instagram, yes, it's a powerful tool. Yes, it's built my businesses. Absolutely. It's given me that ability to really get to know who I'm selling to and for my customers to get to know me. So to really build that relationship, Instagram has been incredible. But in the midst of all that, my self-worth as a business owner did get tangled up in a web of likes and follows, and I lost my way a little bit with it.
Did you find yourself kind of succumbing to posting the content to get the likes rather than the content that you really wanted to share?
Hell yeah. I'm going to San Francisco and finding that rainbow house to put it on my Instagram feed. And it would be okay if the caption was talking about my rainbow box that was for sale.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? We've all been there. I went through a whole phase of that where I was spending like entire weekends going all over the country to take photos of stuff for Instagram. And I was like, what the F am I doing? Like, seriously? And like, I look back now and I think, you remember all those days when you were trudging around, taking photos and coming home and putting it through about 40 different editing apps and then still not being happy and then being like, oh my God. And then posting it to Instagram and being like, nobody liked my picture. And I spent a whole day on this. And it's just like, stop it. Like, this is ridiculous. And for me, the turning point was when I heard the heads of Instagram at a conference talking about how that isn't actually what people want, and they much prefer authenticity. And then you started to see this real change, and I do follow some Instagram accounts where it's just like super pretty pictures. I haven't got a clue who runs them. I don't really care about them. I just like having a little look at their pictures. But generally, the majority of the accounts I follow are real people who aren't all hung up on how good their grid looks and haven't done all these Instagram courses with influencers where they've been told, you know, they have to use a particular setting on Visco. Otherwise, you know, they won't get any likes and all that BS. I prefer the real things. I prefer seeing people with their slightly messy hair on their stories saying, you know, this is what they've been up to, and it's not overly produced. And my Instagram's changed dramatically. I've gone from being trying to make it look super polished to, yeah, you know what, you guys want to know about the algorithm, so I'm going to do an IGTV video, and yeah, I'm in my yoga gear because I've just come back from yoga and I was thinking about it while I was in yoga. So I didn't even bother going getting changed and putting a full face of makeup on. I just thought, it's not what I look like that's important, it's what I'm saying.
And I think it's a mindset switch for business owners, and as you know, especially creative business owners, is to value what we're doing.
Yes.
It's not about going out and looking for what we think we should be sharing, but revealing those behind the scenes happenings, mm-hmm. of stuff that might be really boring to us because we see it every day. Mm-hmm. But actually, I want to see that sewing machine, mm-hmm. that you're making stuff on. What is in that kitchen dresser behind you in all those drawers? Like, you know, mm-hmm. when a picture really pokes our curiosity on Instagram, it's then reading a caption that is real.
Yes.
You know, one that we can be like, oh yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense. You know, that real kind of resonating. And it's not just the visual. It's, you know, I think really getting into telling our own stories as they happen, mm-hmm. and being in the moment with what we do as business owners, as creatives, that kind of that being, you know, the present moment. Mm-hmm. That's very powerful.
It really is. And that is what builds the know, like, trust, and what people, that's what people want. They want to see the real thing. They want to be able to relate. You know, yes. We can't relate to a lot of these over-edited influencer images that are out there. We just can't relate to that. We don't look like that. We haven't slimmed ourselves down in photos. We haven't, you know, we don't travel to all these far exotic places. We can't relate to them. It's nice to look at, but you know, I can't relate to those people, and I'd never like DM them and be like, hey, I feel like you and I have a lot in common. Let's go for a coffee. Because I'm like, man, I don't think we got anything in common. And I'm not even really sure that you are who you look like in these pictures, for one. While, you know, when you are being really authentic, especially as business owners, you make connections really easily as well. And I went through the same thing as you, where I started my business back in 2016, and it was all we and PR at and admin at and accounts at and all that crap. And then I stopped doing that, and I was like, hey, you know what? It's just me. It's yes. just me. And here I am. Face to camera. As soon as stories came about, I moved from Snapchat to stories and started using stories like I did Snapchat, where I was just super chatty. And my Snapchat was actually for my friends and old work colleagues and giving them an insight to, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what happened today, and doing my business and la la la, and I got this contract and blah blah blah, blah. And then I just thought, oh well, sod it, I'll just do it on stories on Instagram and just let everybody see it. And it made such a difference, yeah. like instant difference.
And also for me, it was about unhooking from the numbers.
Yes.
So I felt with my initial Instagram account, it was very much building the numbers. And, you know, the seminars and workshops that you went to that were for small business, it was very much, how can you increase your follower number? Mm-hmm. It, you know, and I felt very caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And that triggered a lot of imposter syndrome for me. So unhooking from the numbers and actually visualizing, if I have 6,000 followers, imagine 6,000 people in a room
yes.
that I'm talking to. That's a hell of a lot of people.
Yep.
You know, it's. I actually closed down my Lucky Dip Club Instagram account and moved across to a new one for Indie Roller. Just a completely fresh slate.
Yep.
A lot of people thought I was bonkers. But actually, it wasn't the same audience. The business was different. And I wanted to really move away from those old habits that were really ingrained with how I ran my business
yeah.
and how much I gave a shit about external perceptions. Mm-hmm. Because actually how I feel inside is so much more important to A, my productivity, B, how I want to live my life. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be caught up in all of this social media crap anymore. Mm-mm. It's not actually doing me any good. I want to look after my future self. What will make her happy? Will it be when I hit 100K followers? Will that really bring me happiness? You know, so asking myself some really difficult questions about my beliefs that I held about myself and the value of my business and letting go of them. Yeah, it was a little bit of a brutal time. And it took a good year of running Indie Roller for me to walk the walk as well as talk the talk as well. You know, I was yeah. doing a lot of chat about don't care about the followers, but then behind the scenes, oh, who's just unfollowed me? But you know what I mean? So
yeah.
it took time for that unhooking process to actually, then you look back and you think, oh shit, I've changed. Mm-hmm. This is brilliant. My response to things that happen are so different now. In the realms of social media, particularly Instagram. And I'm running a thriving business.
That's all that really matters. And I think, first of all, you changing and starting with a fresh Instagram is the most sensible thing to do. So anybody who's in that predicament, I know it's really hard to let go of the followers that you've spent all that time building up, but actually it is better to start afresh, because if it is a different audience, your engagement is going to really suffer because they're not going to connect with your new content. So therefore they won't like it. And then the algorithm thinks your content isn't very engaging and will not show your content to new people. So therefore you are better off just dumping it and starting afresh. As harsh as that sounds, it is actually really important that you do that. Like, never buy somebody's account that has
oofed.
And I see that a lot. I see them come up for sale on Reddit quite a lot, like, you know, 300,000 followers, you know, and they're expensive to buy, they're not cheap to buy. It's also totally against Instagram's terms of use to do that, but you can buy them, but those 300,000 people will probably never engage with you. Because what were they following that account for memes? And now suddenly you stop posting memes and start talking about your small creative business. Probably not your target audience. So yeah, there's those kind of things as well. And yeah, I think you just kind of really took the right approach to it. I think that's it's a really brave thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. And it, you know, like you said, breaking those bad habits as well and not getting caught up in followers and numbers and actually walking the walk and talking the talk. I'm guilty of it. I put my hands up, you know, I talk the talk, and sometimes I don't walk the walk, and sometimes I do get a little bit bummed out if my following's not growing or a post didn't perform very well, but I'm a lot less like that now. But yes, there are times when I'll spend a lot of time writing a caption thinking, yeah, this is really good, and I'll post it and I'll be like, what, why did nobody like that, you assholes. I put my heart and soul into that, and that you know, it does get to me, but I try not to get annoyed. The only thing I really want is the swipe up. I just want 10,000 followers for the swipe up. If I can get to 10,000 followers, I'd be really happy, but I'm quite content with what I have. Because, and that's what I say to a lot of people, you know, you want 100,000 followers, do you want 100,000 customers? Could your business cope with 100,000 customers? And also, the chances are they won't all become your customer anyway, but you've yes. got to, you still have a responsibility to keep them entertained even though they're not buying from you. What an awful thing to have to do.
And you know what, we do all feel those feelings when a post doesn't perform yeah. as well as others, but it's our response to it. Yeah. It's bounce back time. It's resilience. It's, does that then go on to affect your day? What does that then hold you back from? Do you not post for the rest of the week? Or do you think, oh, you have a fuck it 5 minutes, roll your eyes, put the kettle on and back to work. So I think that's mainly how I've evolved recently with social media. Of course, it's like, oh, loved what I just said. What's going on here?
Yeah.
But not letting it affect me in the way that it used to.
I think it's really important not to let it affect you mentally and let it ruin your day. But the one thing you should do is just have a quick dissect of maybe what went wrong. And just have a quick look at the insights of that post and think, right, okay, it didn't reach that many people. It was the hashtags. Or it yes. was the time of day. Right, lesson yes. learned. I will make sure to change that next time. Or, oh, the reach was really good, but the engagement's really poor. So I had the right hashtag, so it got shown to people, but they chose not to engage with it. Oh, did I not get very many likes? Okay, that's probably the picture. Did I not get very many comments? Okay, it was probably the caption. Okay, lesson learned. I'll leave it. Don't delete it. You know, I know a lot of people go and delete them. Don't delete them. Let's leave it. And then, you know, just, you now know what to do for your next post and hope that
Absolutely.
Things improve. But don't let it ruin your day. Go make a cup of tea and get on with it.
And this is learning by doing.
Yes.
This is being the author of your own story by going out there, putting your shit out there and, you know, figuring it out as you go. And that's a big mindset change for a lot of creative business owners. You know, we do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. These products, these services, they become our babies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to kind of put them out into the world. Like, you build up to this big ta-da moment. And I'm like, no, when it's the seed of an idea, share it on stories.
Yeah.
You know, storytelling on social media, saying what you're up to, what happened that day, what you're thinking about, what you're reading, what you've doodled, you know, build it. Like, I guess in marketing terms, it's like, you know, warming your customers up.
It is, yeah.
But actually, it's giving your audience the chance to fall in love with what you do.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about visibility. You know, it doesn't, not every post has to be a real deep, vulnerable, meaningful one.
No.
You know, it can be just what it is. And maybe we don't need to dissect every single Instagram post, but, you know, maybe once a month or once a week, look back at what did work, what didn't work, and how can I tweak? What can I tweak? What can I learn from? What can I change? What was missing? I love asking myself about my business. What's missing right now? Mm-hmm. And that can often really lead me into really interesting avenues to explore, to grow as a person and to grow my business.
I love that. I think it's really, really key. And I think, you know, you can learn a lot from big brands that have grown very fast, like Glossier, Reformation, are two of the most successful businesses on social media because they include their customer within their business. They reply back to all the comments. They share their customers. They're very like open and honest, and they show behind the scenes. And the thing is, there's a whole term in marketing now called BFF marketing. And it is the fact that your customers want to feel like they are part of your business. It's about bringing them inside. And I use the terminology of like window shopping. You know, essentially they are window shopping. Now, do you want to be that lovely, friendly, independent store that even when you're not shopping, you pop in and just say, oh, hi, Kate. You know, it's lovely to see. No, I'm not buying anything today, but I just wanted to pop in and say hi and carry on walking. Or do you want to be the kind of business like a luxury store where you feel that you need to show a bank statement in order to be able to go in there to even browse? You know, you've got to think, what do you want to be? And if you're like that, then people will never get to know you, and they probably won't end up buying from you, or they will feel like they can't buy from you for some reason.
And as the business owner, it's just so much more enjoyable to run a business that way, because not only will customers respond to it, but it's really enjoyable.
It is.
To be yourself. You know, sometimes being yourself can be the hardest thing online.
It can.
Because all these kind of limiting beliefs and your inner critic can be like, make you feel like what you have isn't worth it, what I do is boring. All of our brains are just flooded with this. And when we start to really dip our toe into saying what we want to say, you know, that's when one person might just come back to you in the comments and respond to something you've said. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yes, here we go.
Yes.
Conversations have started. And just for your social medias to become that place where customers know they can come and chat to you. So exactly what you were saying in your analogy there, you know, it's creating that space where our customers feel comfortable, but where we, the business owners, also feel comfortable. And I think that looking back over the years that I've run my different businesses, I've so often not considered myself as the business owner. How do I feel? How do I want to be in this situation? And actually, when I start bringing myself through to the mix, it's much more enjoyable.
Absolutely. I think what's really key is, I imagine there are a lot of people listening going, oh God, no, I don't want to have to be one of those bloody oversharers. We're not talking about oversharing. You have to kind of define your boundaries. I think that's really important. You need to decide what you're prepared to talk about and what you're not. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, that's fine, I'm only going to talk about business. Cool. But you are still going to have to show a little bit of vulnerability, which means maybe a little bit of behind the scenes, and maybe sharing perhaps when things don't quite go the way you intended them to go. It doesn't mean spilling your guts over everything that's going on in your life and airing your dirty laundry and showing your children and telling us everything that's going on from the moment you wake up to the end of your day. Like, that's, you can do that if you want, and some people do and they do it very successfully, but that's not for everyone. You have to decide what you're prepared to share. Now, I've always erred more on the professional side and try to not put too much of my personal life in, except when I've had situations where my personal life has started to affect my business life. Like, my marriage breakdown had a massive effect on my business, because it obviously would, as it would for anybody.
Yes.
So it took me a lot for me to share, to say, I don't normally talk about personal stuff, but I feel like I have to tell you why I've been so missing from being online, and I'm getting a lot of messages asking me if I'm okay. I feel like I just need to address this. But that was it. I addressed it, moved on. And it was obviously very well received by my audience, and they were very supportive. And I had, you know, over 300 and something emails from women all over the world, and guys as well, telling me their stories and their experiences and just wanting to send me virtual hugs, which was lovely. But that's it. You know, I didn't feel I needed to talk anymore. So you have to kind of define your boundaries of what you're prepared to share and whether there are things in your personal life that you think are necessary to mention. But not.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like I'm probably look like I'm someone that overshares.
I don't think you're an oversharer
but
at all.
Actually, there's a lot in my life that I don't talk about online. Yeah. So setting those boundaries mm-hmm. are really important. And sometimes you might want to experiment with your levels of vulnerability. You might want to see what happens,
yeah.
how you feel, how your customers respond. So, the you know, it's not, nothing is set in stone. That's what I love about being a company of one mm-hmm. is we are so agile. And, you know, you can and Instagram is so forgiving for these things, especially stories. Mm-hmm. If you do want to share something, it is yesterday's fish and chip paper. Mm-hmm. You know, it mm-hmm. goes super quick.
And I think also you have to think, so I was in a car accident a couple of years ago, and I shared on stories that I've been in a car accident, and I got so many responses of people going, oh my God, are you okay? Because it was my fault. I crashed into a parked Mercedes. It was completely my fault, but I was really shaken up about it. And I said, you know what an idiot I am. And I get so many messages saying, God, Sam, you've so got your shit together. And I want to say, yeah, I haven't got my shit together. I drove into a brand new parked Mercedes today. And I got loads of replies, which was lovely. But I also got an awful lot of unfollows. And I thought, you know what? Go.
Yeah, right.
I don't want you as part of my gang.
You're human, you know?
I shared something to say, I get a lot of messages saying I've got my shit together. I want to tell you, I don't always have my shit together. I did something really stupid today and I caused like £2,000 worth of damage to my car and to his car because I wasn't concentrating. And I thought, you know what? If you want to go, go. I mean, I could have taken a different tactic. Oh God, well, I won't share anything vulnerable ever again. But actually, I had so many lovely messages of support and people telling me the stupid things they've done, which were hilarious and I really appreciated it. But I just, you know, I got about 30 unfollows and I thought, oh, bugger off. Bugger off.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we spend a lot of time in the digital sphere now as business owners. And I think humanizing our online content is kind of, again, not just for our customers, but for ourselves. Like, hello, I'm a human being here.
Yes.
And, you know, the way that your customer might respond to you in a Facebook review or an Etsy review or a DM or, you know, might be very different mm-hmm. when you start showing up mm-hmm. as a human being behind the brand. And again, that's the magic of being an independent business owner. We're not a corporation. We're not the high street. And actually the high street would love to be able
they would. So
what an independent business owner can do. So you let's use that as our superpower.
Absolutely.
You know, I often say to business owners, are you underutilizing one of your most magical powers, mm-hmm. which is you?
Yep.
You know, you bring your work into the world with your own unique set of experiences, beliefs, emotions, and sharing your work with all of that richness mm-hmm. is what makes it memorable mm-hmm. to potential customers. When they're in that moment and they've got to buy a gift for someone or they want to treat themselves, who are they going to remember? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a post that says link in bio.
No, it's not. You are your most powerful marketing tool and never forget that. Nobody, Dr. Zeus says it very well. There is no one more youer than you, and you need to be you, and nobody can imitate that. That's your most powerful selling technique, if you want, is to be yourself and be honest, because we often buy from independent retailers on the high street because we love the business owner.
Yes, 100%.
If you go into a shop, an independent shop, and they're dismissive or rude, you probably won't go back. You'll just go to John Lewis or Marks and Spencer's or wherever it is and go and buy that card rather than that indie place, because my God, she's so miserable. You need to think your Instagram is your shop.
Yes, definitely. And you know, I think I walk past Lola's Cupcakes practically every week in King's Cross. I've never purchased a cupcake from them. But when one of my clients, Kat from Cat Food Cakes, launched her subscription box, I was first in the queue to subscribe to it because I feel I know her so well from her stories. She's hilarious. She shares all the behind the scenes from her kitchen. And I feel when that subscription arrives each month, I'm going to enjoy that cake and I'm going to feel great from supporting someone that I feel I know on the internet.
Love that. I absolutely love that. Tell me, what's the future of Make It Happen? What's next for you? Because you've kind of gone through a few businesses now. I presume you're quite settled with Indie Roller and Make It Happen. But what's next?
So I had this kind of little feeling at the beginning of the year. I took myself off to Palm Springs on a solo retreat to write my business plan. And I came back and it was all very much set in stone. This is what I'm going to do. But something didn't feel right.
Oh.
So I kind of looked back through all the pages, the plan, the business plan, and it just felt that the work that I'm doing with Make It Happen is only reaching a really small section of the people that I'm talking to online.
Okay.
So what can I do to shake this up? How can I take my work, make it more accessible?
Mm-hmm.
And really reach a wider audience. So here's the thing about business guidance. There gets to a point in your business where you feel you can invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can invest in yourself. It could be a mindset switch as well. But actually, my only offering was a monthly subscription group. So what could sit before that? Was I missing an actual first step with Indie Roller? Okay, I've got the Facebook group. It has over 4,000 people in it. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
It's very active as well. It's a fab group. If you're not a member, go join. The Indie Roller group is the free group and it's fabulous.
Yes, but I'm not present in it.
No.
And my beliefs and my strategies aren't coming through to that group. So how can I reach them? And I just wanted to write a book, and I've been thinking about writing a book for a long time. But something that held me back from writing the book is looking over at my own bookshelf and seeing all of the business books and all of the self-help books
mm-hmm.
that I have piled up. I either A, haven't read them, or I've read them, thought, oh my God, yes, closed the book and done nothing with it.
Yeah.
So how can I write a book and then support people to integrate what resonates with them? So it came to me that I want to create an annual membership for Indie Roller that is really accessible for business owners.
Love it.
And I'm going to do a Kickstarter. I want to create a campaign around this. Let's shake up the world of business guidance and let's create somewhere that is super accessible but is also quality,
mm-hmm.
quality guidance and stories. The book is very much a storytelling space of my own history
mm-hmm.
and also case studies from the people that I've worked with. So that's it. Instead of kind of going down the route of kind of building the membership group and doing masterminds and one-to-ones,
mm-hmm.
I want to create an annual membership. The Kickstarter is going to launch on the 1st of October.
Mm-hmm.
For $29.99, you receive a 40,000 word handbook that is part of it is a mindset framework that I've created called the Rainbow Reframe.
Mm-hmm.
Rainbow is an acronym for resilience, authenticity, intention, nurture, boundaries, own it, and way forward.
Love it.
The second section is Indie Biz Strategies, and I cover everything from branding, planning, designing, manufacturing, selling, evolving, all broken down so it's really easy to use. You can dip in and out of it when it makes sense for you. Then we're going to come together in 2020 and we're going to work together for a whole year with this book. So the course will come out in January, mm-hmm. which will take us through the Rainbow Reframe. And then every month we'll have one masterclass, which will take a talking point from the book. So, you know, it's that thing where it's very much you can come in it and work at your own pace. It's about resetting thought patterns and putting a plan together. And so I felt from all the conversations I was having on Instagram and in Facebook, that was an area of my business that was missing.
I love it. Sounds amazing. So will this be instead of the Make It Happen group or just an addition to the Make It Happen group?
So the Make It Happen group is when you're ready to put that plan in action.
Fantastic.
Make It Happen group from 2020 is an action-orientated accountability group, mm-hmm. which is very much focused on doing the work and a lot of financial chat as well, really delving in to the money side of the business. So, you know, I guess it's looking at the journey, the roller coaster ride, if you will, that someone will come on with Indie Roller. And the Make It Happen group, people might feel that when they've got the plan, they've perhaps reset some thought patterns mm-hmm. and beliefs that they might have had about themselves and their businesses. When that has unfolded for them over the year, they could then find that they come over to the Make It Happen group, which will always be a much smaller group where we'll work together on really putting these plans in place.
And are you still going to do masterclasses, one-to-ones, mentoring, etc., or are you going to, this will be the only ways people can really work with you?
I will do the masterminds and the one-to-ones, but they will be a much smaller part of my business.
Okay.
And the larger focus will be, what is that first step a creative business owner can take mm-hmm. to say, do you know what? I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invest in myself and my business journey here. And making that first step, that is what I'm really passionate about, helping creative business owners onto the start of that journey. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's a fabulous idea. Do you have a target for Kickstarter? Like, if you don't achieve it, it won't happen.
Yes, absolutely. Because I have to pay myself, right?
Yeah,
this is
you
a
do.
Whole year I'm going to be spending on this. So I need 1,000 backers. So it will be the funding goal is £29,000 to make this a reality, which I am so excited about. And petrified, which to me is my sign that this is what I want to be doing.
I was just gonna say, if you're not, that's my same for me. I always think fear is the best thing ever, because if you're not afraid or you're not nervous about something, you don't really want it. It's like job interviews and things. If you're not nervous, you don't actually want it.
Yeah, and like a massive part of the discussion for me is, how can you feel the fear as a springboard for change?
Oh, I love that.
Because I think that is one of the real learnings we can take away from running these creative businesses. And it's not just about the business. It's about our lives as the business owners.
Definitely. Well, this sounds amazing. I am super, super excited for you, Leona. I love, you have a very similar ethos to me with businesses. You're very much in it. You obviously want to make money. You want to be able to sustain your business, because businesses have to make money, otherwise we can't live. But you do it because you love helping people and you want people to succeed, which is the same ethos I have in my business. And I'm always very passionate about talking to people who share that and aren't just in it for, I want a six-figure business, yada, 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 because I don't connect with those hustlers.
Yeah, it was like when I just started to say, do you know what? All this hashtag hustle chat is making me feel like I'm failing.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to turn my back on that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see how I can nurture myself and my business. And you know what? Initially, I thought, the word nurture, it just sounds so unambitious. Mm. Like, who wants to read about someone that's nurturing themselves? But as I dug into that more, it just started to come together as, you know what? I just want to feel good while I'm doing
yes.
all this.
I joined a Facebook group the other day. I won't say which one it was because that would not be appropriate, but I joined a Facebook group the other day and I got accepted, answered the questions, got accepted and read like the top three posts and it was like, I made $29,000 last night, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and I'm leaving. I was just like, this isn't for me. These are not my people. Like, I would love to have made $29,000 last night, but it was just all the posts were geared towards about how much money I'm making, how many people had signed up to my coaching courses, how many people were in my membership group and how much money I was making. And I just thought, nah, sorry guys. I would be in here going, oh my God, I helped this business and they're now turning over this and it made me feel great. And I, you know, don't really want to disclose how much money I made from it, but not that kind of money. And I just thought, no, you're not my people. That's not what I'm in this for. I actually just want to help people and I'm not a hustler baby. Sorry.
And you left it.
I did.
Which was brilliant. Like if you're in any Facebook groups and they're making you feel like shit, leave them.
Please.
100%.
And unfollow people that make you feel bad. And, you know, if you're in Explore and you keep getting those awful, God awful business posts that are trying to encourage you to make more money or sign up to webinars to have a six-figure business, you can tap those three dots and you can say hide posts like this. And eventually you will start getting content that is actually relevant to what you want. If you want motivational Instagram posts that are going to make you feel good and tell you to look after yourself and have self-care and, you know, more the kind of content that Leona shares and I share, less of these black posts with really hard comments and words and, you know, you should be hustling, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can train your Instagram to provide you with the content that you need to see rather than the stuff that makes you feel really shit about yourself.
Great tip. I need to do more of that. Thank you, Sam.
Oh, it makes me feel so much better. My Explore is so much better now because I don't get all of that. Because it just picks up on the fact that you're a business and therefore it thinks you want to see that kind of content. I don't. And I'm going to guess a lot of people listening don't either. So you've been an amazing guest, Leona. Thank you so much for sharing so much amazing nuggets of wisdom and inspiration. And I wish you all the best with your Kickstarter. I will put a link in the show notes so that people can go and support your Kickstarter. When this episode is airing, it obviously you guys will know it's past the 1st of October now. When does the Kickstarter actually close?
It closes on the 31st. The 31st.
So you've got the whole of October. Oh, you close on Brexit date.
We are the antidote to Brexit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The power is in our hands as business owners. You know, there's a lot that happens in our world that we don't have control of, and it can make us feel really powerless.
Yes.
You know, so becoming part of Indie Roller, this is a positive, forward-thinking action for your business.
Amazing. I love it. Before I let you go, I have to ask you the question I ask everybody. Whose story would you like to hear on Small and Mighty Conversations?
Oh, I absolutely love the French artist Camille Walala, who turned her back on the surface pattern design world in favour of painting large-scale buildings, which was very much a male-dominated world before she broke onto the scene. So I would love to hear her story.
That sounds fascinating. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. Make sure you share the link with me so that I can take a look and potentially get her on the show. That sounds amazing. Totally different as well. And yes, thank you so much. What a fabulous recommendation.
Yay!
Thank you so much for being an awesome guest, Leona. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you so much, Sam.
And that was my chat with the lovely, lovely Leona. If you want to go support her Kickstarter or check out what she's up to, find her on Instagram. Everything is in the show notes. And of course, you've only got until the end of October 2019, in case you're listening to this in 2020 or beyond, to support the Kickstarter. So please do go give Leona some love so she can make her book happen, because I have no doubt it is going to be awesome. And I, for one, am very keen to read it. But until next time, keep pushing forward. Your next great success is just around the corner.